tremendous to my life and has transformed me from someone who would not be able to stand up here and talk to you to someone who was can't wait to have the opportunity to share. And that's what happens to everyone here. And the answer, I can't wait to share. Amen. Because we see the goodness of God working in our lives every day. Amen. But this only comes with a consciousness of that God loves us. And we only see this through the finished work. The finished work is priority for us. Now, I love what our brother Ming was saying. You know, that I could tell that the veil has been taken away from someone's eyes when they're able to share boldly with someone who was stolen the Lord. Yes, they are stolen, our brothers and sisters. They're stolen a mixture. But there's a passion that works inside them to share the grace gospel, the true gospel, the only one and only gospel. Now, this is the gospel that Paul valiantly preached boldly in the synagogues, I must say, to show them the true heart of the Lord, and that is for everyone to come and be embraced by Him, to have a close relationship with Him, to conversate with Him. We are His bride. He is our groom. So we have that intimate relationship with Him. Amen. You know, Paul, when he preached, he came up against a lot of obstacles, let's say. You know, different teachings, people coming and saying, oh, you've got to do these things to be righteous with the Lord. You know, but I love what Anton said, you know, that there's no shame in this gospel. He knew that what he was preaching was truth. He knew that what he was preaching was directly given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ, revealed to him on the road to Damascus. That is what the Lord revealed to Paul, and that's why he wasn't ashamed. I'm not ashamed to share the gospel either. No, but this comes with us just sitting in grace. The Lord works something in you to go out like me. No, he couldn't wait to share the truth with his friend. Why? Because he knows the truth. But that boldness comes with just sitting in the Lord, just resting, being washed with the Word, having the Lord wash over you. Amen. The title of my sermon today, family, is Grace is Our Breakthrough. This is the breakthrough that the church has been waiting for centuries for. We had it at the beginning, but there were doctrines that came in and started to snuff out the truth of what the gospel was. I heard someone say that there's some Christians don't believe in healing. But we as grace believers, we know that healing is our birthright. Amen. We have come into a new standing with the Lord. We are all, every single one of us are righteous. So now we can approach the throne room boldly and ask the Lord. And Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name will be done. And you will do greater things. But those greater things comes with us just sitting in grace, hearing the gospel. Because when we hear the gospel of Christ, that's what builds faith. That faith is not our own faith, but the rest that comes with sitting in Jesus Christ. Amen. So grace is our breakthrough. This is the breakthrough we've been waiting for ages. And I'm excited to share the gospel today. Amen. Romans 1:16-17 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. We have nothing to be ashamed of when we preach the gospel. Everything lines up. There are no holes in this gospel. Why? Because it is truth. It is what the only holes are in his hands and in his feet and his side. Everything has been patched up. The truth is with us. Psalm 62 says that my honor and my glory depend on God, for he is my rock and my salvation. He is our rock, family. He is what we stand on when the waves come. He is the foundation which we stand on. He is our salvation, sozo, soteria, whole well-being in every single area of our lives. We have nothing to fear. Fear has been done away with at the cross. Isaiah 53 says, surely he has borne every single pain we have, every single iniquity we have. Jesus took that up on the cross. So we have no shame, we have no fear. We only have boldness now. Amen. We only have truth. And when we see with truth, the whole world changes. You get up in the morning, oh, thank you, Lord. I receive your glory today. I receive your gift of righteousness today. I receive everything that you have. Before I wake up, I was like, well, what am I going to do to please the Lord? Nothing you do can please the Lord. But putting your trust in Jesus and the finished work pleases him. Very much so, amen? We have no shame in this gospel. The arm of God speaks, I was speaking to Paul about this, the arm of God speaks about the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shoes of the gospel, peace, the buckle of truth. That buckle of truth, hold your pants up. There is no shame in this gospel because it's true. This is Galatians 1:6-7. Paul was astonished to see the Galatians turn so quickly away from the true gospel. I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. So what Paul is saying here, every other gospel is different of this being preached. The only gospel that we need to be hearing is the gospel of the grace of Christ. This is the one true gospel. Family, foundation is key. When we build on the grace of God, nothing will tremble, nothing will shake in the building that has been erected up on that foundation, which is you, the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's astonished that they were taken to a different gospel. What was a different gospel? A mixture. There were Judaizers coming from Jerusalem, coming to share another gospel to. They were saying that you need to be circumcised in order to come under God's salvation. You need to follow the Ten Commandments in order to be saved. Paul's saying, yeah, no. There's only one gospel, and that's the gospel of grace. Amen? And there are many that try to pervert the gospel, but I boldly say this to you, family. Stay in grace. Grace
is sufficient for all things.
Amen. Grace supplies. The essence of grace is supply. The essence of law is demand. The law will demand everything from you. It will even demand your life. But grace gives you life. Grace gives you freedom. Grace gives you healing. Grace gives you power to speak boldly to friends who are still in the mixture. Yet it's the boldness that there's a certain that boldness is out of love. Because you know the truth. And it set you free, and you want that for your brother and sister as well. So continue in the gospel of grace, man. And it goes on to say, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Hands up who believes. Salvation is yours. Salvation is yours. That power is dunamis, the miracle working power of God. Whatever you need in your life, that supply is to you. That dunamis is to you. That miracle working power is yours. It's our birthright. We are new creations in this. We are now his sons and daughters, amen? And everyone who believes, salvation. And in the Gospel of Mark 10:52. Or Mark 10, it speaks of blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, Bar, in Hebrew means son. Timaeus means unclean, son of the unclean. It speaks of blind Bartimaeus, how he was sitting at the gates of Jericho, and Jesus was on his way out, actually, and it says that when he heard that Jesus was in the vicinity, he cried out, "Son of David!" This is a blind man. Yeah, he could see Jesus for what he was. The true Messiah, the Son of David. He knew that there was miracle working power in Jesus. So what did he do? He kept crying out. The crowd was telling him, hush. You know, the world is trying to quiet the gospel of grace. And it's done so, for 2,000 years. Ever since, that's why in John, it was the last gospel. And it says that everything I've given to you is so that you may believe on who I talk about. Believe in the grace. So blind Bartimaeus is sitting there, and then he cries out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus hears it. Even though blind Bartimaeus couldn't see, he knew that. He could see what Jesus was really about. He was really about salvation. And in Mark 10:52 says that, then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. That word well there is sozo. Soteria. Salvation brings healing. Salvation brings wholeness. Salvation brings restoration in relationships. Salvation brings acceptance. First, you're accepted by the Lord. That's all that matters. Everything else will fall in line. When you know that you're accepted by God, everything else falls in line. One of the biggest prayers of a Christian is, before coming to Grace Family, one of my biggest prayers was that I please Him. That could never happen. I wanted to be accepted by God. But now in grace, just sitting in grace and hearing the gospel of grace, I know that I'm accepted by God. And I know each and every one of us are accepted by God. And that brings rest. Rest in oneself, knowing that you don't have to please. There's no demand for you to meet. It is already met in Christ. Amen? And they said, and immediately he received the sight and followed Jesus. Now tell me, family, did he have to follow Jesus in order to be healed? Or was he healed before he followed Jesus? That is God. That is grace. This is what Jesus does. He heals you. And out of that rest, then you go and follow Jesus. Out of that working of grace, then you can boldly preach. Then you can do the good works that the Lord talks about. And your foundation must be grace in order for this to work. Because your eyes are only on Jesus, not on yourself. Don't divert your eyes from Him. Amen. For in this gospel, back to Romans family, for in this gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Like I said before, the righteousness that we had to have before was that of our own doing, that of our own working. Now we have a rest in the Lord because the righteousness has been revealed through Christ and the finished work, amen? And another thing, only in grace can Jesus be revealed from the Old Testament. I've never seen this done in other churches. They don't know how to preach. I'm not talking badly against our brothers and sisters, but the truth expounds Jesus from the Old Testament. And this brings revelation, and this brings a rest also in us, in knowing that the Old Testament's been fulfilled. And that's what he said, I did not come to abolish or do away with the law, but I came to fulfill it. Amen? So we have that boldness in knowing that the law has been fulfilled on our behalf by Jesus. And now we can live that life of freedom. Amen? Our righteousness that is revealed by faith from first to last. Family, grace is from first to last. There is nothing else in between. Grace is what we started with. And that's how we came into Christ. Grace is what we finished with. Nothing else. I've had conversations with a pastor in a mixture church back in Auckland. And he came up to me and stood there and says, we don't read the Bible and not do what it says. We keep the law. We keep every single demand. That's the only way to please God. And I wanted to correct them. I wanted to. But the Lord just, you know, when the Lord sometimes holds you back, you know, sometimes the flesh wants to get in there, but the Spirit withhold you, that's what happened. I just felt sorry for them. I know that there would be an opportunity for me to share grace to them, but that wasn't the moment. So there is wisdom in that as well, family, in sharing. You know, we can't just go there and go like this. No. That doesn't work like that. Jesus never done it like that. What did he say to Peter when he hacked the guy's ear off? That's not the way I do things. That's not my kingdom. That's not how the things are run up there. If you live by the sword, you might, you know. But the only sword that we live with is the sword of the Spirit, the gospel, the grace of God. Amen. And just as it is written in Habakkuk, it says, the righteous will live by faith. That's how we live, family, by faith. Every day by faith. That starts in the morning when we get up, thank you, Lord. That's by faith. When you see the devil trying to bring lack to your way, or trying to bring sick, You know the truth. I'm healed. I have no lack in the Lord. I'm whole. Amen. By faith we live. Luke 5:17 says, now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who came out from every town in Judea and Jerusalem. Judea and Jerusalem. You know, even back then, I've had this conversation with a person who said, what do you think Jesus was preaching? A lot of people say it was the kingdom of God. I don't believe it was the kingdom of God. Yes, it was about the power of God on the earth, but it was the gospel of the kingdom of God that he was preaching. And that's why there were all these Pharisees in the vicinity. That happens all the time. There's Pharisees everywhere when you preach Christ. And look, they came from all areas of Israel. From Galilee, which is what Judea up in the north, and Jerusalem down in the south. This is the opposition that he had back then. But Jesus continued to preach it boldly, because that's what he was sent for. And he knew that that's what we were going to be in as well. That's why he gladly went to the cross. He knew that it was with joy he went to the cross, because this is what we will come into. Rest. This is what we will come into. Wholeness. This is what we have. Everything in Christ. And the power of the Lord was present to you. You know, when you preach the gospel of grace, there's power there to heal. There's power there to heal every single thing you're going through. Sickness, cancer, I believe this. Cancer, broken relationships. Only in Christ these things come whole again. The power of the Lord was present to heal. Amen. And then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. I've heard this being preached before. A lot of preachers say that this is what we need to be doing. Yes, this is what we need to be doing. But it's not talking about us doing it. In Mark's gospel, it says that there were four men that brought Jesus. One on each corner. Four men that brought a sick man, the paralyzed man. One on each corner. The number four speaks of the Gospels. Four. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is the Gospels bringing the sick man to Jesus. That's the only way to Jesus, family, is through the Gospels. And what was the paralyzed man is representative of us. You know, you might be paralyzed, not physically, but there might be emotional paralysis that might have you in its clutches. There might be financial paralysis that has you in this class. Whatever thing that is trying to paralyze you, the devil says that the devil walks around like a roaring lion, trying to intimidate everyone. But we have a bigger lion than the little lion, which is that so-called wannabe lion. Everything that the devil brings up is counterfeit to what Jesus has done. He's always trying to deter you away from the gospel of grace. So behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed. They sought to bring him and lay before him, who was Jesus. This is the picture of the tabernacle in the Old Testament. Around is the walls, which in Psalms they call salvation. But the only way into the tabernacle, into the forgiveness of sins, into the Holy of Holies, was through this. This is the cloth. There were four gaps in there, which was covered by four cloths. Finely interwoven, four different colors. White, blue, red, and gold. All representative of the Gospels. The Gospel, family, is how we enter into the Holy of Holies. The only way to get into salvation is through the Gospel. So if you have sickness, then when we sick, man, I like to read everything that Jesus has done about sickness. When there is lack, I like to read everything how Jesus. I like to read the how he fed the 5,000. Now he met the need and exceeded it. This is grace. He will exceed your expectations. That's the only way you know it's of God. He's exceeded our expectation. And I know that God is with us. So those four men speaks of the gospel. And it said that when they couldn't find how they might bring him in, because the crowd, they went onto the housetop and let down his bed through the tiling in the midst of Jesus. So these men couldn't find the way in. What did they do? Go to the roof. It speaks about how grace puts up on high places. You know, when the flood happened in Noah's time, the ship that rested on Mount Ararat, it was a high mountain. That is where the Lord rests, takes us. Straight away when we come to the Gospels, he takes us to high places. He elevates you to a place where you know you're loved. He elevates you to a place where you know you are supplied. He elevates you to a place where you know you are healed. He elevates you to a place where you know that nothing that the world has for you can touch you. You're protected. You know, everything that Christ has for you, all the promises are yours in Christ. It says that when the ark rested on Mount Ararat, which is Aramaic for the curse reversed, as representative of what we have in Christ. We are on high places. There's no more curses. We have everything in them. Amen?
Amen.
Well, someone before how? So they couldn't find a way to bring him in. They take him to the top and they come through the roof. What were the roofs made out of back then? You know? Mud, cow dung, anything that could harden. That's right. It talks about everything that the devil is throwing at you. Grace will break through that barrier and take you straight to Jesus. This is the power of the gospel. It doesn't take us around the rules, it doesn't take us, no, it takes us straight to the throne where we need to be. In the presence of the Lord, there's healing. In the presence of the Lord, there is power to overcome every situation that you're going through. Amen? And they put him right in the midst of Jesus. There were two or more gathered. I believe Jesus is standing right there. Jesus is standing right here. He's walking around. He's touching everyone. He's healing everyone. He ever needs it. All we need to do is believe and receive it. It sounds like some sort of trick that the Lord is playing on us. Really, it does. To me, it does. It's like, oh, this sounds like a fairy tale. But it's not. It's true. We receive what he has for us by faith. Even though we don't see it in front of us, but I know it's there. Everything we have is there in the midst of Jesus. Amen. That wall also speaks of a lot of walls that we have. Cultural, social, tradition. I myself come from these backgrounds. Ephesians 2:14 says, therefore he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups, talking about Jew and Gentile, one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Then when I come in here, I don't see Asian, I don't see Caucasian, I don't see Indian. I don't. I see my brother in Christ. I see my sister in Christ. It's such a joy to come every Sunday. When I'm out there, it's not the same as when I come amongst believers. It's not. There's no joy out there. But I guess that's why we're at, to spread the joy, to spread the truth. But this is where I come, to be refilled. Just seeing your faces on it, it's like, wow, thank you, Lord. I have a family that understands what I can't conversate like this out there. I can't talk about Jesus. They don't understand where I'm coming from. But no matter what, we will still try and show them the truth of the gospel. But out of love, that's the only way to come. That's how I came, out of love. And I believe that's how everyone else came, is out of love. Someone loved them so much to share the gospel out of love. And that's what happened to me. Daniel shared the gospel to me. And once I heard it, I just clicked. I was like, wow. Why didn't I see this before? So the wall of hostility is divided. Again, like I said, I didn't see any other races here. I just see one race. Citizens of heaven.
Amen.
Sitting in front of every single one of us. I want to see you guys up there. Man, I want to see you guys in your glorified bodies. I want to see you guys in the other one. Sam ain't going to be 90 minutes up there. Definitely not. I want to see this young man running around. That is the truth. He's still running around, I know that, but maybe I have a chance to catch up to him. Praise God that he's taking down that wall of hostility, amen? That's the same thing in the temple. There was a wall dividing Jew and Gentile. That's what I was talking about. But that wall is also talking about the law. It divided us from God. It kept us away. We couldn't approach him unless we were justified. But he is just in taking and putting all of our punishment on Christ. And now we are able to go into the throne room of Jesus. Amen. I actually meditated on that once. That I'm in the throne room of God every time I pray. What a mindset change. What a life-changing thought to have. I tried my best to get into the throne room before. Never could make it. But now in grace, I know that I'm there. I know that you're there. Just ponder on that for this week, guys. It's such an awesome feeling to know that. I even asked, I was telling Paul, I asked Dad, Dad, can I just have a hug? Can I just do that? Just go up to your dad, can I hug Dad? You know, for myself, I never had a father growing up. I was raised by my uncle. It's some cultures do this. Like, I'm the oldest, so I went and lived with my grandma. And I was raised by my uncle. It's kind of messed up. But I always had that empty feeling that I didn't have a father. I never had a relationship like Karina has with you, Ash. When I see your little daughter come up and hug you like that, I never had that. That's unusual to me. But now in Christ, in Jesus, I know that I have that.
Amen.
I know that I'm loved. I asked Dad, Dad, can I just have a hug? I just felt this warm embrace around me. I just started crying. That is the power that we have. That we can talk directly to God and we know that He hears us. His ears are attentive to His children. And He provides every need for us. Amen. Amen. 2 Peter 1:2-4. Wrapping it up, family. I know it's hot. But grace and peace. Are you guys being blessed today?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the only way peace and grace can be multiplied is in the knowledge of God and Christ Jesus. Is in the knowledge of the gospel. There is no other way. There is no other way. As His divine power has given to us all things. His divine power has given us all things to pertain to life. Everything we need for life, we have.
Amen.
In Christ. We have godliness in Christ. A lot of people try and be godly, try and be holy. Hey. But that godliness only comes with the gospel of grace, amen? Through the knowledge of Him who has called us by glory and virtue. I've been called by name before, but not by glory and virtue. Every single one of us has been called by the Lord. There is a task at us forehand, for us ahead. Maybe you just pray for people. That's because you know that you've been called by glory and virtue. And you just lay hands on people, on those who need it. The Lord will work something in you. And that's what you worked out. Is laying hands. You know, or blessing someone with finance. Or just giving someone with you see someone on the road. That's the Holy Spirit working in you. And through you. Sometimes preaching works best when you don't say words. Actions do speak louder than words, family. But these actions come from rest, come from grace, amen? By which we have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. That through these you may be partakers of divine nature. We have been called to partake of this divine nature. You have a divine nature in you now. The old man is gone, the new man is here. We are all new creations. We are all being divinely made now. So there is a supernatural side to you. There is that which we call the spiritual side, which I call normal now. That is our standing. Supernatural is not supernatural, it's just natural now. Know that that's what you've been called to as well. You know, when blind Bartimaeus was calling out to Jesus, "Son of David, have mercy on me," Jesus told the people to tell him to come to him. Jesus will tell us things too, to tell other people that, you know, to use your gifts, prophecy, healing. That's the Lord working something in you. The same thing happened to when they fed the 5,000. Jesus didn't give the food to them. No, he got the disciples to be part of the miracle to show the grace of God. Working, being real. But again, that comes with just sitting in the gospel of grace and hearing the truth of who you are, what he's done, and where we're going. Amen? We are partakers of the divine nature. It says, when he saw their faith, Jesus sees faith. Faith is not invisible. It's invisible to us, but not to Jesus. He plainly sees it. In fact, that's how he saw Bartimaeus, with faith. That's how he saw the woman who came with the issue of blood. He said, your faith has healed you. That word healed is, the word sozo, salvation. Amen. Then he says to him, your sins are forgiven you. Just like the Pharisees and scribes, they started to reason. Reasoning is not a faith. And that was their downfall. They started to reason everything. They tried to put God in a box. They tried to put God in this thing, in that thing. But God cannot be contained in rules. God is freedom, amen? Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? They were so blinded by their rituals and rules that they couldn't see God standing in front of them. They searched the scriptures day and night, yet what they were searching for was standing in front of them. It spoke about there'll be a greater prophet than Moses come. We'll do greater things. This man was standing in front of them, doing it every day in their synagogues, in plain sight. But pride got the best of them. And that's what the Lord does. It brings in a sense of pride. And that's what I got. That's what I felt with to his cousin. There was so much pride there that I'm the pastor, because he's a pastor. I'm a pastor. I do these things. Those things mean nothing without Jesus, without love. But Jesus perceived their thoughts. I praise God that he can perceive our thoughts, that he knows our deepest and most deep desires that we have. You know, it's good to say prayers out with your mouth, yes. You know, but it's also in that quiet time, he can perceive your thoughts, what you're saying. You know, you may be praying for someone right now as you're sitting here. The Lord hears that too. He perceives thoughts. He answered them and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easy to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk? Which is easier? In those days, no one could forgive sins. And no one could. Jesus stumped them, man. This is what grace does, it stumps the law. It just puts them in a place where they didn't understand. But this is what the Lord is saying to you. Your sins are forgiven. First of all, it brings you into rest. Your sins are forgiven, fam. Then he's saying to you, rise up and walk. Whatever situation you're in, rise up and walk. He is your resurrection. He is your standing. Whatever circumstances the devil is trying to bring up and make you lie down paralyzed, Rise up and walk. Rise up and move, family. But so that you know that the Son of Man has power, even on this earth. That is, we are anthropos. That's not talking about, it's talking about us. We have authority on this earth. We have authority. If you do a study on the Son of Man, you'll see what we have. And that's one of them. And he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take your bed, and get to your house. Get to your families. Arise. Let the work, what the Lord has worked in you, arise in you. And when he gets to your houses, he'll put there, your house is at rest as well. And Jesus will be there in the midst of your house as well. And that's what I feel like what the Lord is telling me when I go home. I will have to arise. Auckland is a dark place. But I know that the light of grace will be there soon. Amen. It is here. And I want this so much for home. But for now, this is my home. I'm your planted here. Amen. So that brings me to the conclusion of our sermon, family. Now, thank you for your patience. But if there is anyone here that needs prayer for anything, raise your hand up now, or you can come and see us later. There's a team of leadership, leaders here that are more willing to pray for you guys. You know? So if I could have every head bowed. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you that there is no shame in this gospel of grace. That we have a strong foundation to stand on. Thank you, Father, that whatever lies the enemy tries to bring in front of us, that just remaining in grace, we will see breakthroughs in the areas of our lives, Lord God. And for our children, Lord Father, for our families, for our jobs that we may be praying for increase if we need, Lord Father, for those who need it, Father. Father, all our trust is in you, Lord God. It cannot be in us, but only in you, Father. We thank you, Lord God, that you have brought in and you ushered in a new year, Lord Father, for us. And we are excited to see the manifestations of your grace in this church, Lord Father. We are excited to see the manifestations of the promises that you have daily given us, Lord Father. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your finished work. And that because of your finished work, Lord Father, every one of us here is gathered in your name. We thank you because of your finished work. Every one of us know that we are highly favored, deeply loved, and greatly blessed, Lord Father. So we thank you, Jesus. Lord, we give you all honor and all praise. And everyone here says, amen. Amen and amen. Thank you.
So that brings us to the end of our service. Family, we would love to fellowship with you. We are going to do some cup of tea, sandwiches, and some cold refreshments. So please stick around if you have any questions or you'd like to talk to one another. Awesome. In Jesus' name.